Hypocrites love to pray, not that they love prayer, not that they love God, but they love the attention that they get from people who would listen to them and be impressed by them. You will notice that he says, standing in the synagogues. They want to stand up in the synagogue and be noticed by people. The attention is drawn to them. Or on the corners of the streets, assuredly, I say, they've received their reward.
The Bible warns us that hypocrites have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. Avoid such people. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik gets into how we can be genuine before the Lord and other people. And after the teaching, we go in studio with Skip and Lenya as they share how we can grow in our prayer life.
He said, our Father. And everything was put in the plural. And I've always been amazed at that, you know, forgive us our debts, etc., etc. That the plural nature of including the body of Christ, you know, keeps you humble in prayer and also lets you recognize that the circle's bigger than yourself.
Do you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord? In this month's resource, you'll find Skip Heitzig's lifestyle booklets, which cover topics like prayer and the significance of Jesus' resurrection. You'll also find all 6 teachings from Skip's Sermon on the Mount series and 2 refresh booklets by Lenya Heitzig. Don't miss out on this limited time only resource. Here's the details.
Life happens. Times get tough. What do you do when you have no idea where to turn for answers or direction? Skip Heitzik and The Connection are offering a very special resource for the month of August that will help you find clear direction for your life in God's Word. It includes 3 lifestyle booklets from Skip about hard-hitting, relevant topics in the believer's life, things like creation versus evolution, and how to develop a solid prayer life. You'll also get 2 special refresh booklets from Skip's wife, Lenya, about overcoming trials and temptations and living in victory. Plus, you'll get Skip's entire Sermon on the Mount series on CD, giving you life-impacting teachings on everyday issues you'll want to know about. You won't want to miss this resource. And the best part is you can order it right now for a suggested donation amount of only $30. Just call 800-922-1888 or visit connectiononline.org/offers. Life is confusing sometimes, but God's Word has the answers. That's 800-922-1888.
Now, let's grab our Bibles and open it once again to Matthew chapter 6 as we join Skip for today's study.
Hypocrite. It's a Greek term that means literally a stage actor. That's where the term comes from, the theater. You go to a theater and you observe somebody putting on a mask, playing a part, playing the role. He's not really that person. He's playing the bank robber, or he's playing the hero or the heroine. He's a good actor. He's a hypocrites. He's a hypocrite. He's an actor. So Jesus uses that term. Now, when we hear the term, it's not a good term. Originally, it just meant an actor. We hear the term, it's a scalding, scathing remark. Nobody likes to be called a hypocrite. Jesus uses the term thrice. Oh, listen to me. I'm sounding like an English actor. He uses the term thrice. Once, in verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, you shall not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. The second occurrence is in verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. We'll get to that. And then over in verse 16 is the third incident. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. So let me sum it up before we get into it. This is what he is saying in a nutshell about the Pharisees or about anybody who would seek to emulate their righteousness. How dare you say what you say when you live like you live? If you say what you say, let's see it in your life. Because here's a group of people who say a lot of things, but it's not in their life. Those are stage actors. Those are hypocrites. So, verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds or the giving of alms before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. It was considered a sacred duty to perform acts of mercy. They were called acts of mercy, and that's the Greek term. A merciful action to somebody who really needs a helping hand, a charitable deed, giving of alms, or helping people out. Now, what I find interesting is the chapter begins with a warning. It says, be careful. That's what take heed means. Watch it. And why is that? Because whenever you do something good, there's a danger in it. Because you're being watched, typically. And sometimes you can be suddenly thrust into the visible public arena, and that's always dangerous. It's dangerous because the flesh loves to be admired. And so it can become our motivation. I get strokes. People tell me I'm awesome. I'm wonderful when I do those things. Nothing wrong with encouragement. But if you're doing it simply to get the strokes and to be told you're wonderful, then it's a problem. So he starts with a warning. Be careful. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Several years ago, before this building, and before the building we were in prior to this, in the original building after the theater that we met in on Sunday morning, we leased a little building on Eubank, 1660 Eubank. And I remember walking into the negotiation over that little piece of property. It sat, you know, a couple hundred people, but the rent was steep for us. We were a small body at the time, and I'm thinking, Lord, don't know how we're going to be able to afford this, but I'm walking by faith. We have, you know, maybe just enough money to make the monthly rent. So let's see what the negotiations tell. The owner of the building was talking about what a great building it was, what a great location it was. He's going through the whole list, and we want a place. And he looked at me and he said, tell you what, I'm going to give you a break on the price. I know I said it was this, but I'm going to give you a break so to make the church body afford it. Now I'm thinking, praise God. Thank you, Lord. The prayer has been answered. And then he paused and he said, the way I figure it, that may be just enough to give me that extra push I'll need into heaven come judgment day. I was tempted to say nothing. It'd be easy to just say, amen. A deal's a deal. But I said, and I won't tell you his name, I said, I don't think this is going to work. This will score no points whatsoever with God come judgment day. It's all about a relationship that you have with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And no amount of good works, if you're doing it, something good to get you into heaven, it won't cut it. See, that's the danger of good works. That's why there's this warning. Take heed. The motivation is so important. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet, probably a figure of speech, before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the street corners, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Interesting, the word to be seen by men. See the word seen? It's a Greek word, theaomai. We get the term theater from it. It means to gaze at, to study, or to command attention so that people look at you. You're doing something to be noticed by people. Hey man, I'm going to give you this amount of money. I want my name on a plaque in that wing of the building, donated by. And I'd like you to say something about who I am and what I've done as well. Underneath that plaque, I'll pay for the plaque. Why would you want a plaque when you're losing your reward that you're going to get in heaven? See, you're either going to get a reward now, pats on the back, oh, you're wonderful. Thank you, I saw the plaque, I saw your name, thank you for donating that. Or you can wait and let God reward you. And from everything I've read, he does a way cooler job at rewarding you than anything we could do on earth. So he says, don't do it like they do it to be seen, for they have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Literally, they've gotten their payment in full. In other words, if you do stuff to be seen by men, God owes you nothing. Imagine how it would be to be in heaven. And this conversation goes on. God, this is awesome. I'm glad I'm in heaven, and this is really cool. I like my digs. Really nice over here. But something seems to be missing here. You know, I gave a considerable sum of money on this occasion and another gift on that occasion, and I gave of this and that over on that occasion. And there didn't seem to be any accounting for that or any reward for that. I thought I got heavenly rewards. And God said, well, from our books, it shows you've already gotten your reward. People applauded you and they read your name every week on that brass plaque. And every time they walk by, they say, he's awesome. He's awesome. That's always the danger of doing anything public, including public ministry. If you're doing public ministry and people say, Pastor, we love you. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. We're supposed to say that. So we want to say we love you. And we genuinely do. I appreciate that. Everybody loves encouragement, but this little part of me goes, man, that little reward, I just lost that one, you know, in heaven. And so the way I figure it is some of you, and I know some of you that work so diligently and so faithfully behind the scenes, and nobody notices you, I expect to see you in the front row in heaven. If you want to find me, you're going to have to go way in the back row somewhere. But when you do a charitable deed, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Because of these verses, I have never done pledge Sundays, where I've asked people to pledge, you know, a certain amount, or I've never said, I believe right now the Spirit of God is telling me there are 40 people. Yes, 40 is the number. I keep seeing the $1,000 symbol. There's 40 people with $1,000 that are supposed to go by. You've seen that done. I hate that stuff. I get sick to my stomach when I see that stuff. To be seen by men, it's to be done simply. Paul said to the Corinthians, let a man so give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a hilarious giver. That's the wording, a hilarious giver. If you can give to the Lord hilariously, give. If you're giving, oh, I could have bought a cup of coffee with that, or... Really? That's all you give? Keep it. Buy a cup and buy me one when I see it at Starbucks next time. Whatever. When you pray, verse 5. Now he goes from giving to praying. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's interesting that Jesus said hypocrites love to pray. Did you notice that? Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray. It's not that they love prayer. It's not that they love God. They love themselves. And they'll pray and they go, ooh, that sounded really good. I'm really good. Yeah, let me try that again. I'll say some more stuff. People go, yes, amen. That's... Remember what Jesus said? Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. This is in Luke chapter 18. And the Pharisee stood, Jesus said, and prayed thus with himself. He's not really praying to God, he's praying with himself. He's listening to himself articulate the words going, oh, that's good. And he said, here's his prayer. Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. Or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give alms of all that I possess. Then Jesus said, the other guy, the tax collector, stood afar off and wouldn't even so much as look upward toward heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, oh Lord, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said, that man, number two, he's justified before God. Hypocrites love to pray, not that they love prayer, not that they love God, but they love the attention that they get from people who would listen to them and be impressed by them. He notices that, or you will notice that he says, standing in the synagogues. They want to stand up in the synagogue and be noticed by people. The attention is drawn to them. Or on the corners of the streets, assuredly, I say, they've received their reward. Now, the street that he's talking about is a wide boulevard, usually with a large intersection where lots of people would be. That's the term that is employed. A lot of people going through, thus a lot of people seeing this event. Can you imagine what it would be like if on a Wednesday afternoon before Wednesday evening service or Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning, let's say you're coming by a big intersection like San Mateo and Manal, or you're driving down San Mateo this way and your wife says to you, "Honey, I just thought I saw Skip standing on the corner saying something with his mouth and his hands were stretched up to heaven. I think he's praying, honey." That's the idea. You would notice it. You would see it. It would make an impression. Wow, he's so holy, man. He's out there on the street corner praying. He loves this city. No, he loves himself. And he wants you to notice that. Here's what Jesus says. When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is not saying you cannot pray publicly. Jesus prayed before a meal. There were public prayers. John 17 is prayed out loud in front of his disciples. However, public prayer is to be the outflow of private prayer. Your public prayer reflects your private prayer. If you have a problem praying publicly, praying with people, praying in the prayer room, could it be, probably is, that you have just a real problem in your own private devotional life? What is done in private makes its way to the surface. It is the outflow one of the other. Now, Jesus says it's to be done in secret. Close the doors, to be done in secret. Why do you need quiet time, we call it, where it's just you? The door's closed. There's no interruption. The phone, the dog's put out. You're just you and the Lord, because that's when you can focus and concentrate on what God's just trying to say to you in that time you've set aside. Lord, it's me. It's your word. Speak. You remember after the resurrection, it says, the disciples were gathered together and the doors were shut, and then Jesus appeared. He appeared when the doors were shut. Everything was shut out. Everything was outside. They're focused and concentrated on what the Lord might speak to them. That's when the Lord spoke to them. Verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. The Phillips translation says, when you pray, don't rattle off long prayers. Please don't misunderstand once again. I feel that everything sort of has to be counterbalanced so nobody gets the wrong impression. It's not advocating that you should just shoot up a quick prayer and that's all I need. One little, "Hi God, how are you? Let's go. Amen," for the day. But the idea is vain repetitions, rattling off long prayers, because you believe the longer it is, even if your mind's disengaged, the better it is. That was believed by many people 2,000 years ago. A famous prayer recorded by a rabbi 2,000 years ago, I think it's written in the Talmud, uses 16 adjectives before he even gets to the name God. Holy, righteous, omnipotent, omniscient, wonderful, blah, 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 God. That's the idea. There was a preacher in Scotland who loved to pray that way every Sunday. Long, flowery prayers. And there's one wee Scottish old lady who was in the choir. She got sick of it. You know, the Scots are really great for just give me the bottom line. And so one Sunday, the preacher's waxing eloquent in a long prayer with many adjectival phrases. And she was in the choir right behind the preacher, and she pulled his robe and said, "Just call him Father and ask him for something." Get to it, man. It's interesting, if you were to compare the praying of the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18 to the prayer of the prophet Elijah, it's a striking difference. Elijah's prayer is a few words. But number one, he's praying to the true God. That's always important. Number two, he's praying from his heart. His neck is on the line. He's praying authentically, genuinely, from his heart to the true God. The prophets of Baal, talk about vain repetition. It says in 1 Kings 18, they prayed from morning until noon. That's a long prayer. And they prayed. They cried out and kept saying over and over again, "Oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, listen to us." And it says, but there was no voice. There was no answer. You know why there was no voice and no answer? Because there was no Baal. There's no Baal. There's no God named Baal. People made him up. It's a false God. There's only one God in the world, period. Well, you have your God and I have my God. No, there is God. Everyone else, everything else is fake. So they've cried to Baal from where? Oh, they're so sincere. They have their religion. Yeah, and they're like wrong. And they're heathen making vain repetitions from morning till noon. Well, that didn't work. So Elijah starts mocking them. He goes, maybe you ought to pray a little bit louder. After all, he's a god. He's on important business. Or he may be sleeping. You got to wake him up. He's just taunting him. You know, you got to admire. He has spunk, that prophet. So then they started leaping up and down on the altar. Just picture them. Started leaping and they started praying, no answers. Now they start leaping, doing the spider thing. Then the Bible says they started cutting themselves. The idea among the heathen is that I must persuade my gods by my strong language and repeated language and saying this over and over and over again till finally they go, stop! Okay, uncle, I'll give you what you want. That's the idea. That's how the heathen believed their gods to be. They had to be persuaded, and you had to change their minds. Elijah walks up there and goes, Lord, you're God. I know it. They don't. Show yourself strong. My neck's on the line. Amen. Fire fell from heaven, consumed the altar, the sacrifice, the water, and the message was clear. Of the true and living God. Therefore, verse 8 sums it up. We have to stop there, unfortunately. You know, I was ready to finish the chapter. I know, you're thinking, yeah, right. We know by now, Skip. Therefore, do not be like them. Jesus said, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. Be complete. Now he contrasts that with the heathen. Don't be like them, or the religionists. Don't be like them, for your Father. Ooh, mark that. A lot of people talk about God, my God. How about your Father? That's relational. See, it's not just God and human. That is in play, but more intimately, it's Father, son or daughter. Your Father. He knows the things that you have need of before you ask him.
God knows what we need before we can even ask. We can trust him completely. Now, let's join Skip and Lenya in the studio.
We saw today how some people pray out of love for themselves. It's kind of all of a me, 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 I, me, mine prayer. And they want to sound good or appear godly to others. But genuine prayer should stem from a deep love for God. Skip, can you share some practical tips for someone who wants to grow in their prayer life?
I love how Jesus taught us to pray. He didn't say, pray, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and help me. He said, our Father. And everything was put in the plural. And I've always been amazed at that, you know, forgive us our debts, et cetera, et cetera. That the plural nature of including the body of Christ, you know, keeps you humble in prayer and also lets you recognize that the circle's bigger than yourself, that it's not all about me. It's about God's work in and through his people. So, that's one of the most beautiful things. It's one of the most striking things about how Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
And in so many ways, he continues to do that. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for. I mean, he's constantly admonishing us to pray for others.
When Jesus came to earth, he brought a whole new way of thinking that challenged the religious leaders of his day. The ideas he presented still challenge today's worldly thinking. Give this teaching as a gift to your friends and family to inspire them to live a Christ-centered life. It's only $6 plus any donation you give above that amount. Just visit connectiononline.org or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Tune in tomorrow when Skip begins our study on the Lord's Prayer.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. Connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.